Our thoughts and prayers are with the families in Russia who lost their loved ones and have a number that are still being treated due to a terrorist attack at a concert. Well, and then today, being Tuesday as I record this, the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, was hit by a barge, and there was also loss of life there as well. So we do want to keep these in our prayers, and as they grieve over the loss of loved ones and those who are still being treated. This morning we want to continue our study from the book of Leviticus. As last Lord's Day we were discussing the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16, 29 through 34. We emphasized without obedience to God's will, there will be no forgiveness of sins. That stood true in the Old Testament days, and of course it stands true today under the law of Christ. We also discussed seven principles which never change. Even though we're not offering the animal sacrifices today, we could see from our study in the book of Leviticus a number of principles that remain true even under the law of Christ. And as we closed out our study, we were emphasizing the authority of God was not to be questioned, but it was to be respected and to be obeyed. And so we want to pick up with where we left off there last Lord's Day in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, standing for, we all should know, Preparing for Eternity. And if we're not doing that, why not? We better get started. And I mean today. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street right here in Martinsville as we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. And as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be, of course, with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. Now, let me mention this. If you're interested in having a Bible study, we look forward to those opportunities. Please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. If you have Bible questions or you have comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, one other very important announcement, and that would be our gospel meeting, which is coming up fast. This would be held April 12th through the 14th, will be held. And the speaker, Brother Ronnie Whittemore of the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis, who has done meetings for us before, has always done an outstanding job, and I can assure you he will put out the word in such a way that everyone can understand it. As the old saying goes, put it out where the calves can get it. And that's what Brother Ronnie will do. And let me give you the times of the services. Friday and Saturday night would be 7 p.m. That's the 12th and 13th. And then on Sunday the 14th, we'll have our morning session at 9:30, worship service at 10:30, then a wonderful potluck lunch, and then the last sermon of the meeting would be at 1 p.m. So we look forward to seeing you join in with us. Now let's get back to our study of the book of Leviticus, as we're emphasizing from last Lord's Day the authority of staying with God's commands. And we have the complete revelation of God, and so we need to stay with scriptural authority for what we do in our religious activities. Now, you know, it's sad to say that our beloved country has drifted from its moorings by giving heed to ungodly progressives and liberals, those who claim to be woke, but they're not woke in accordance to the will of God. They're promoting sexual perversions, abortion on demand, and, of course, anti-biblical views. So, as members of the Lord's church, we want to stay in the straight and narrow, no matter how many do not. Some congregations of the Lord's church have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, 2 Peter 2:15. Why? Because of worldly influences and a lack of knowledge of God's word, just like they were in the days of Hosea the prophet, chapter 4, verse 6. Yes, they had a lack of knowledge of the word of God. We don't want to be in that classification. Rather, we want to be with the attitude of loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Yes, as Jesus said in Matthew 22:29. So we must earnestly contend for the faith and never, never, never compromise the truth. Continue proclaiming, let's get back to the Bible. That's what will pull this nation up. Yes, sir. And let me say this, and see how you would answer this. Who has the right to change what God has authorized and what God has not authorized? Well, I hope you said no one, because that's the correct answer. Let's notice some examples from the Word of God, Genesis 4, 5 through 7. Here we see that Cain's offering was unacceptable before God. Why? Because he gave an offering, a sacrifice, according to his desires, rather than what God had commanded. He gave of the fruit of the ground, which he was, you know, involved in doing just that, but that wasn't what God said to do. Abel, on the other hand, offered a blood sacrifice, which was acceptable. And you see, of course, the difference here is one did that which was according to his desire, the other, Abel, did what God had commanded. Now notice, Nadab and Abihu, as we're studying Leviticus, let's go to chapter 10 and notice verses 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So in Exodus 30, verse 9, you can see God's command concerning the fire that they were to offer. And so they offered that which was not authorized by God. Now, we're not expecting to see people devoured by fire today when they do that which is not authorized by God. No, but if they're not repentative and doing the will of God, they will have to answer for that on the day of judgment. So let's take note of this. And the third example, we'll look at King Saul. He offered a burnt offering to God that was only to be done by a priest. Remember our study here in Leviticus? The priest were to make the sacrifices. Chapter 1 through 5 emphasizes that. But in 1 Samuel 13, 8 through 14, you can see King Saul offered a burnt offering to God, and he was not a priest. And so Samuel told him, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." So he was rejected by God of being king. We know that King Saul was injured in battle and took his own life. Well, let's note a fourth example, and that would be Uzzah, who was struck dead because he was not authorized to touch the Ark of the Covenant. Now, no doubt he was sincere in his efforts to keep it from falling to the ground from an unauthorized ox cart. This is 2 Samuel 6, 6 and 7. And you can see the instructions God gave in Numbers 4, 15. Only the priests were to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and they would have the poles through the rings. They were not touching it themselves, but they are the ones authorized to move it, but not Uzzah, even though he was sincere, no doubt, in not wanting the ark to hit the ground when it was jolted and was falling off the ox cart. But you see what happened. God means what he says. So, as we've seen four examples here, these men were not pagans or atheists, but they were involved in religious activities. They certainly believed in God. But see, this is showing us the importance of staying with what God said, staying with the authority of the Scriptures. We're under the law of Christ. And so this relates to those today in the Lord's church who believe in God but are advocating changes from God's pattern. We have no right to make changes to what God has set forth. Even though these people, brethren, may be sincere, but they're actually are thinking that their way is better than God's way. And we better realize and never forget, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. There's a vast difference in believing in God and believing God. As Paul fully trusted God, which was proven by his obedience to God's will, as you study Acts 27, 25 through 44. Yes, you can see Paul believed God. But let's move on and now deal with this question. Before the shedding of Christ's blood, how could it be said, "It shall be forgiven him"? Well, that was part of our study here in Leviticus, wasn't it? Chapter 4, verse 31. But before we answer that question, let's lay some groundwork. When did the animal sacrifices begin? Well, just before Adam and Eve were cast out of paradise, the blood of innocent animals were shed as God made them coats of skin to clothe them. Yes, after Adam and Eve sinned, they realized they were naked. And they went and hid themselves. They put on fig leaves, but that wasn't enough. That's a lesson in modest apparel, isn't it? That wasn't enough. So God made them animal skin clothes. Genesis 3, 21 through 24. And next, we read of Cain and Abel offering their sacrifices, as we mentioned a moment ago. Cain's sacrifice was unacceptable because it was not a blood sacrifice. But notice Genesis 4, 3 through 5. Abel offered the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. This is again in Hebrews 11, 4. Yes, Abel, by faith, did what God said. In other words, he had heard the word of God and obeyed it. Well, we go now to Noah. He was instructed by God, "Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female." Genesis 7, verse 2. Why take so many of the clean animals? Well, we should know Noah and his family not only needed clean animals for food, but also note, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done." Genesis 8, 20 and 21. Next, we go to Isaac as he asked his father Abraham, "But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Well, that's Genesis 22, 7. Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac before God stopped him. And there was a ram caught by his horns in the thicket, which was offered up for a burnt offering instead of Isaac. Genesis 22, 9 through 14. Then, note, we can therefore conclude that animal sacrifices were required in the patriarchal dispensation. And as we have seen in our study of Leviticus, the animal sacrifices were offered daily by the Israelites in the Mosaic dispensation. We've been covering that, have we not? So, God's word clearly states that no one is justified by the law of Moses. Let's go to Acts 13, 37 through 39. Again, we're laying the groundwork to answer our question: before the shedding of Christ's blood, how could it be said, "It shall be forgiven him"? Notice Acts 13, 37 through 39. "But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," that's Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Notice that again. Ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Galatians 2, verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law," that's the law of Moses, "but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." That's the law of Moses. It was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. So, the Israelites' sins were not canceled out by the animal sacrifices, but their debt was moved forward each year and remained on their account until the blood of Christ was shed, as you can see in Hebrews 10, 1 through 14. But let me center in on verses 2 and 12 of Hebrews 10. Notice with me, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Well, that's right. We need to understand that. So, let's answer the question: before the shedding of Christ's blood, how could it be said it shall be forgiven him, as in Leviticus 4:31. Of course, him here referred to the obedient Israelites having offered the proper animal sacrifice for their sin offering. So the animal blood sacrifices were representing what was so sure of taking place that it could be stated in the present tense. Thus, symbolically, their sins were forgiven because all the animal blood sacrifices were pointing to the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They could not take away the sins, but they're pointing to what could, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, we know before going to the cross and shedding his precious blood, Jesus, as he was instituting the Lord's Supper, he used the present tense. Note this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed. Now, he's not with the blood having been shed as he spoke that, but it's so sure of happening, he used the present tense. Notice, which is shed for many. Note, for many, for the remission of sins. Matthew 26:28. We know in Luke 5:17-26, the man with the palsy was healed and told, thy sins are forgiven. Made some folks upset. And in chapter 7:36-50, here's a sinful woman who washed Jesus' feet. Yes, and he could say that her sins were forgiven because it was so sure of what was going to take place. Yes, Jesus, before shedding his precious blood, could forgive sins because he knew from the beginning that his Father's plan of redemption would climax with his vicarious suffering and death and shedding of his precious blood on the cruel cross of Calvary. As you can see in Ephesians 1, note verses 4-7, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's speaking of Christ in him. And this was determined before the foundation of the world. God predestinated the plan, not the man, to be saved. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let's never forget that and have a great appreciation for the cost of our salvation. In Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Isaiah's prophecy of the suffering Savior here in Isaiah 53 used mainly the past tense. So we need to understand in answering our question, how could it be said before the blood of Christ was shed that your sins are forgiven? Well, again, we need to understand that God the Father allowed his only begotten Son to bear the burden of all the sins of the world, and he was knowing this from the beginning. God the Father, God the Word, who became the only begotten Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all being deity of the Godhead, knew what was going to happen before it happened. And it's sure to happen. So we need to, of course, respond to the love of God. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Notice Acts 2:23. Him being determined by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. See there? That was already in the mind of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. Those that believe premillennial doctrine are saying God failed in doing what he said he was going to do. That doesn't happen. This is the plan of God for Jesus to go to the cross. And he purchased his church with his precious blood, which is the kingdom of God. And we need to know that. By the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who barely was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. 1 Peter 1:19-20. I wished I had time to go through other scriptures, but before our time is up, I want to mention this. I am the Lord your God is found 21 times, and in 3 more verses the same word, slightly different order. Where? In the book of Leviticus. This declaration demands our immediate attention. All faithful students of God's word should conclude that the 3rd book of the Bible is very rewarding and a faith-building study, as it points us where? To the cross of Christ. The Israelites were saved by responding to God's grace through their obedience to God's commands in view of Christ being crucified for their sins, as we are for our sins. Let's be sure that we understand this truth. Without the shedding of the blood of Christ, our Lord and Savior, on the cruel cross of Calvary, all the animal sacrifices for the atonement of the people's sins under the patriarchal and Mosaic law would have been for naught, all of it. And that's brought out in Hebrews 10:1-10. Under the law of Moses, the Israelites were to do all the words of this law, Deuteronomy 29:29, just as we are to obey all the law of Christ, James 2:8-10. Acting on God's will to obtain the forgiveness of our sins requires our being knowledgeable of God's will and then obeying His will, Romans 6:7-18, Hebrews 5:8-9, 1 Peter 1:21-22. So let's be sure we're acting on God, upon God's will. Has God ever offered forgiveness by involving only His grace? No. Has God ever granted forgiveness to anyone who did not submit to the conditions for receiving forgiveness? No. Have we obeyed the gospel of Christ? Are we continually acting upon God's will? I hope we can all answer yes. If we have not submitted to God's authority, we can answer yes. We've got to give up man's authority and submit to God's. By hearing the word, this is how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. Repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. Make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, and then be immersed into a watery grave to contact the precious blood of Christ, Romans 6:3-6. And then we will be added to the body of Christ. And we thank you so much for listening today.